and welcome to the LRM podcast, sponsored by Adrian Flux Insurance. I'm Martin Dominey.
And I'm Steve Miller.
And you join us for an hour of chat about Land Rovers and everything to do with owning them, live from the Discovery 5.
Because we can hear you, or you'll better hear us, in a Discovery 5.
Yes, exactly.
So unlike if we were doing this in your Land Rover the other day.
Quite, yeah. It was very important that we chose a quiet enough vehicle to record the podcast, and then we thought, what better to choose than the Discovery 5 XXXV? And what a fine machine it is.
It is. It's the first time I've actually been a passenger in one, rather than driving one, and it's really lovely.
It's certainly not a vehicle you feel hard done by being a passenger in.
No, definitely not. You feel properly safe, and I don't know, it's just great, isn't it? I am a convert, at least.
Yeah, the more time I spend with it, the more I think, I could very much have one of these.
Well, because you've got it for a period of time, will you be able to go back to, say, Freelander 2, for example, and go, I'm happy with this?
Well, I have to, because I can't afford a Discovery 5.
Yeah. And we can't arrange pay rises, so there you go. Not significantly enough to buy an £80,000 Discovery 5, definitely not.
My dreams are dashed.
Yeah, sorry about that, mate.
I'm very much enjoying swanning around in this, and we're heading currently back to Newbury area to pick up your 90, which is now fixed.
Yeah, we're going to All Makes HQ, home of Terra Firma.
Where your 90 is now repaired with the new fuel filter housing. So you're
and dry a new rear shock absorber. Or absorbers.
Pair off now.
Yeah, we paired them up.
She's good to go again.
Yeah, good.
Not a journey we were kind of expecting to make, to be honest, but it's fine. I'm all right with it. I don't mind spending a morning driving around in this fine machine. So, no complaints here. Talking of complaints, we didn't have any about last week's podcast, which was unexpected to me, because if you heard it when it first came out, or on YouTube...
Probably half an hour of it being on...
Yeah, it would have been the first half an hour. You may have seen the Instagram reel I made. There was a bit in there that should have been edited out that wasn't edited out, and for that I do apologise. So I'm sure it raised more laughs and smiles than it did concerns, but apologies if you were in the car with kids or whatever and you heard that, because there was a bit of blue language used, because I had a sense of humour failure about some of the equipment we were using.
To be fair to you, when you're doing a podcast, it's very, when the equipment fails, and it sometimes does, it is so frustrating, isn't it? And we saw the camera flashing at us, didn't we? The little red light was blinking at us, and it's so annoying, because you know it's a load more editing work, but you were going to inflict some serious damage to that camera.
Ready to ninja kick it across the studio. It was already the end of the day. I already knew I had to edit it ready for the next day. So time was of the essence as it was. And it wasn't great. Steve is directing me. He is the sat nav.
Yeah, I don't do sat navs. I'd rather learn the complete journey myself.
Fair enough. Yeah. I am a millennial.
I've been told what to do by an electronic device.
I rely solely on sat-nav, much to my father's disappointment.
You should be able to read a map.
He's an old school map man. Now it's beeping at me to tell me we're in a speed camera zone, which is both annoying and useful.
Yeah, we're currently going around the outskirts of Northampton on a 50-mile-an-hour bypassy route.
Yes, indeed.
And it is a bit of a faff, this bit, but...
it's fine. We've already spotted some prime Land Rover products.
What a nice to see. We've just seen a C-Plate X-Military 90.
Soft top.
Yeah, that would have been spoiled in electric-aspirated diesel.
Probably, at one point.
It's very slow enough to have that engine in it.
It could well be still in there, yeah. Really cool to see that. And then there was a L663 Defender behind it, which was cool. Pangea green.
And then a Evoque behind it.
And an Evoque 3.
Which is that really sort of pastely blue colour?
Yeah, I like that colour.
Yeah, look, it did look smart.
Oh, stop beeping at me. And then before that, we saw quite a smoky Discovery Sport, didn't we?
I reckon that was about to let go.
I think that would have been a case of chop it in ASAP.
That was a 18 plate.
No doubt a 2-litre engine.
Yeah, and the bluey-black puff as it accelerated away.
Yeah.
Quite decent, but I mean, if you went to look at that as a used car, you would never buy it, would you?
No. It's funny, isn't it, that they've all got this DPFs and AdBlue and stuff like that because of cutting down emissions, yet you see one like that and it's billowing out more smoke than your
bad.
Typical 300 TDI, and you think, really?
That's the smokiest car I've seen for quite some time.
Yeah, smoky cars are kind of a thing of the past now, which is great, obviously, because we all have lungs. Here comes another Defender. That's got the optional snorkel. What a machine.
Yeah, that's nice.
And the backpack on it, on the side there, the lunchbox, and a roof rack.
So we've just seen it, a Grenadier, haven't we? A black one.
Yeah.
It's very, very clean. Look, I could just come up to show you.
I don't believe I've seen a black Grenadier.
That did look smart. That was like on black steels as well.
Yeah, it was quite cool.
Yeah, it was a cool thing.
And also...
Still wouldn't own one.
No, you still wouldn't leave the money out of me over a modern Land Rover. But another Grenadier and another one-ton hardtop.
Yeah.
They're all out today.
I quite like this. To the podcast, whilst on the road, you see no end of Land Rovers. I think you're looking for Land Rovers now, aren't we?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, we were behind an L460 Range Rover with four-wheel steering, and it's quite cool to see them as they go around roundabouts, how much tighter they turn than a normal Range Rover.
That was the fullest bike. Big fattest Range Rover I've seen, really, that on the road.
Yes, yeah,
and the most expensive number plate.
Oh yeah, had a very fancy plate on it, didn't it? We were just saying actually before we kicked this off, the first thing you do when you jump into any current JLR product is click the driver aid button on the steering wheel twice to turn off the lane departure warning and the thing where it tries to snatch the steering wheel out of your hands and all the speed limit things. Although it's still telling me about the speed cameras. I can't deal with the modern nonsense that the government... I assume it's a legislation thing.
It is now for new cars. I think even newer cars, you won't be able to turn that off in time.
No, you're probably right.
And I do think that's the end for me.
I just don't... So unnecessary. I remember the first time I experienced a vehicle which had not lane departure warning, but where it sort of guides the steering away from white lines on the road. And it was genuinely, if you weren't expecting it, which I wasn't, but I drive a fair few different vehicles, if someone who'd only driven one car for like the last 5 years had got into that and it had done that, I'd think there was something wrong with it.
Yeah, you panic.
It's really, really nasty.
The most aggressive one I've ever been in, like that, was a Kia.
Oh, right.
The steering felt quite disconnected, shall we say. And then when it grabbed, and it was actually on the near side that it thought I was too close to the verge.
Right.
But it's because I was going round, so like avoiding a big puddle or a flooded area in the road, it really didn't like it.
It doesn't take into consideration that you're actually driving. It just thinks you're...
But it doesn't expect anyone to be looking out of the actual window.
No, it's not my cup of tea, I must admit.
No.
Would not recommend personally, and I'm quite glad that none of my cars have got it. But what is going to be difficult, as you rightly said a few minutes ago, is it's going to be very hard to go back to even what would have been at the time quite a refined and luxurious car, the Freelander 2, after getting out of something that's just so well screwed together and so refined. And like the sound, the noise, vibration and harshness in this Discovery does not exist. It's so, so smooth and so quiet.
I mean, we're doing, 58 miles an hour now, and we were going back along this road the other day in your Series 3.
Oh, God.
We're possibly doing a similar speed, but it fell under the end of the world.
Yeah, they're two different animals, but... I'm falling in love with this. And I was surprised earlier, the difference in sort of perception, I think, from other road users. I know we sort of poke fun at the fact that the front ends of the current range, apart from Defender, all look very similar. But I think people can distinguish Discoveries from Range Rovers and Range Rover Sports because people are a lot kinder to you.
Yeah, I think they probably are.
It's funny. You think it probably wouldn't matter, but when you're in a Discovery, people, you know, they...
For a big car, these do not look aggressive.
No.
They look polite.
And actually, rolling on from that, the styling, obviously the polarised, whether you love Discovery 5 or hate it, the reason it was so far removed from the Discovery 4 was because the Discovery 4 was perceived as being too masculine. The styling was too brutish, if you like.
Okay, yeah, I've heard that.
So, obviously the corners were softened and rounded on the Disco 5 and it was made sort of less, not aggressive looking, but less imposing perhaps. And that was because... It was they were after a more sort of less male dominated customer. They wanted to appeal to more people.
You do see quite a few like families that, you know, on the school run in these.
Yeah.
They are perfect family cars.
Well, Land Rover JLR, sorry. market the Discovery 5 as their family option, and there's all sorts of great packages you can get for them for like one of them's beach days, and there's a few other different things that they do all dog accessories for Discovery as well, and
they do those ramps.
Yeah, they do.
They're quite handy if you've got an older dog, a big older dog.
Yeah, there's all sorts of, you can tell they're still tuned into what Discovery's always been about, regardless of the styling and everything else. If I had the money, I would 100% consider one of these as a main family car.
Yeah, no, I think I would. And actually, if you look at the used market, these are tempting.
They are, yes.
They are tempting.
The earlier ones, especially, if you can sleep at night knowing you've got a 3-litre TD V6 or a 2-litre Ingenium on the drive, they're serious value now.
Yeah, they are. I mean, what can you pick these up for now? 15?
I think they're sort of like starting at around that point, yeah.
£15,000. If you went into the used car market now, you don't get a lot of car for that now.
No. In fact, a good friend of mine, his boss, I know, you know, we touch on the engines a lot. He's got a TD V6 one, quite an early one, I think. It's an 18th plate. And he tows with it every day. They do plant, they fix diggers and stuff like that.
So it's pulling probably a maximum. It's got to be pulling through after.
Trailer on it all the time.
Yeah.
And he's never had a problem with it. And okay. It just goes to show that they are out there, but it is always a consideration. Do you know what I mean? It's something you need to do your research, same with anything.
Yeah, no, definitely. But these are fabulous. I mean, I do want one of these, you mean?
I mean,
you know, objects, I think, because they are so much, you know, new, they're competing nicely with a Defender, but second hand, these have dropped a lot more than a Defender has.
Definitely, yeah. I do peruse the JLR used approved website quite a lot. The last real bargain I saw on there, or what looked like really good value, was a 2-litre petrol Sport.
Okay.
I think I showed you. It was £16,000. It was...
Oh, yeah.
2000, I think that might have been a 2018. But didn't have silly mileage on it, and being a petrol, they're more reliable than the 2-litre diesel. I thought, if you weren't too fussed about the fuel, that'd be a great buy. And actually, by the time I'd gone away and gone back on the website, it sold like within a day. So someone else must have been thinking the same thing.
But then an engine rebuild cost buys a lot of fuel.
Yeah, I know.
And you have the refinement of a petrol.
The 2-litre Ingenium petrol's a lovely engine, even in the Discovery 5, which is a big car, it does.
Now, I have driven briefly a Discovery 5 with a 2-litre petrol.
Have you?
Yeah. It went really well.
They're not bad, considering they're a four-cylinder, 2-litre.
So we're now going on the M1, which is for one junction.
M1 North.
M1 North,
for a junction.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is where the old A43 is, heading around Northampton in a minute.
Oh, I can see it on the sign. Oh, it's fun, isn't it? You've come with us in real time.
In real time.
On a little LRM adventure.
Yeah. Which kicked off with a Greggs bacon roll, didn't it? And coffee.
Well, you know, you can't go on a road trip malnourished, can you?
Well, no.
Something that I don't think either of us are actually...
We've both looked like we've been on a lot of road trips.
No, but the Greggs breakfast deal is not to be sniffed at. A bacon roll and a coffee for like £3 something?
About £3.375, I think it was. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, a bit more than I thought. But then again, what else can you get for that sort of money these days?
Not a great deal. Nice thing, though. But you banned me from eating in here.
Yeah, you're not eating in the Discovery. I'm very, very precious about cars that aren't mine, to be perfectly honest. I did not want to risk crumbs, to be honest with you, Steve. I know how I eat in my cars, and I wouldn't wish that on anyone else's vehicle. So, not like an animal, but you're trying to do a lot of things
like
at once.
Like a Viking, like eating like a matter.
Not like a turkey leg, having a medieval banquet in the front of the car.
You could have a medieval banquet in this car. It's big enough.
There's
loads of back seats of them, and they're like
gravy. There's space, isn't there? But no, I think when JLR have been nice enough to lend you a car, and I've got this one for a month, I must have really done something to please them this year. I think the least you can do is not eat in it.
not leave them with like a lonely McDonald's chip, a hairy chip to the size of the seat.
The absolute quintessential staple of, oh, it's a GTR. Of anyone who spends a lot of time on the road, they're going to have a hairy chip down the side of the seat.
Which you can't get to.
Not without pulling the seat base out if you've got a defender anyway.
And just leave them there. And it just shows they don't even like degrade, do they? They just sit there.
They're fully synthetic, aren't they?
Yeah, they look like, they still look like a chip, like a year in. Not that I'm saying I have it. I might have a McDonald's chip on the side of my chair.
It's an even bigger problem on Land Rovers that you can't take the seat base out of. So, like, my Discovery 1 was awful. If you dropped anything between... a Disco 2 will be the same. Anything between the seat bolster on the, like, the inside of the car and the centre console, forget it. You need a Hoover with about a metre long nozzle on it to get the stuff out. My poor Freelander 2, she's looking worse for wear at the moment. Winter is getting the best of it.
Might be a job for the Christmas break.
Might well be.
Come off it.
Do you know what? Them L494 Sports are looking more and more tempting by the day.
Yes. They do look nice. Especially, I quite like that colour.
Yeah, that is a nice colour.
What is that?
That is Firenze Red, I believe.
Yeah, it does look good.
Might not have been called Firenze Sport. I can't remember. I'm out of the loop on them, really. But yeah, it's a handsome machine. I really like that generation Sport.
Mm, nice. Well put together car.
Steve is directing me at the moment.
I'm just like pointing at random bits in the road.
I hope you're pointing at random bits in the road and not where I should be going. Because, like I say, I'm a millennial. I normally rely on navigation to tell me where to go.
You never learn where to go again. If you rely on that, you never really know where you've been.
But what I would say, Steve, is I remember being at school and the teacher saying, you need to learn how to do these sums and these equations in your head because you won't have a calculator in your pocket. And how wrong were they?
Yeah, but I find driving with a sat-nav stressful. I find knowing where I'm going less stressful.
Do you?
And I enjoy the drive.
I'm the opposite because I always find that the sat-nav, it knows how to avoid traffic for a start, whereas I don't.
No, you don't, because you can't foresee these things.
I don't think technology should be relied on for everything, but I'll definitely rely on it for getting from A to B.
We're proud to partner with Adrian Flux, an insurance broker that specialises in covering all types of Land Rovers, including classic, ex-military, modified and Q-plated models. Adrian Flux offers a range of optional extras to make the policy your own and can provide cover for off-roading, green laning, agreed value and build-up cover. Plus, they even offer a discount of up to 15% for Owners Club members. Simply search Adrian Flux Land Rover Insurance for more information or call them directly on 0344 728 0417 for a quote.
Just gone over an interesting bit of the canal.
Oh god.
Yeah, so where the River Neen, near where Billing Aquadome is, the Billing Off Road Show.
Yes.
Where the River Neen joins, it goes across the like a flood area, and then it joins the Northampton arm that takes you up to the Grand Union Canal. There's a series of locks there.
I'm glad I've just had a coffee because otherwise I would be modding off.
Yeah, but I like the canal.
Steve's got a bit of a thing about canals.
Yeah,
you lived on a canal, didn't you?
I lived on the River Neen on a narrowboat, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Very passionate about long boats.
Yes, very long boats. Mm.
But,
anyway, moving on.
I just
have a bit of sightseeing, you know.
Talking of discoveries, right, we're going to do an impromptu feature of the week. The January issue, which is on sale at the moment, which if you haven't bought yet, you do need to go out and get it, because not only do you get Land Rover Monthly, you get Land Rover Life, which has got the best buying guide that's been out for a long, long time.
That's the most comprehensive buying guide I've read for some time.
It's an awesome buying guide, and you get a calendar. People were kicking off the last 2 years because there was no calendar, but now the calendar is back. So if you don't go out and get the January issue or order it off landrovermonthly.co.uk, you've only got yourself to blame.
Yeah, definitely take advantage of that.
So there's a feature in Land Rover Monthly about the manual Discovery 3. So the chap in the feature is a classics feature, because Discovery 3 is getting on about 20 plus years old.
My dad used to have a manual Discovery 3.
Did he?
Yeah.
What reg was it? What year was it?
It was a 56 plate.
Okay.
the expensive tax bracket.
Yeah, sure.
Cloth interior.
Wow, an S then, probably.
It was an S.
Wow.
Yeah.
I quite like the basic ones, but I nearly bought actually a coil sprung manual S Discovery 3, but the back of the sill's really gone, so I didn't bother. But this one is a 2008, and when the chap went to order it, they had real trouble selling him a manual because the parts supply of the manual boxes and the components to put them together was drying up pretty quickly. And they were trying to usher him into an automatic because they were having issues getting the bits to build them. Which is funny because I know for a fact very, very early Discovery 4 commercials used the TDV6 2.7. So they were a Discovery 4 body, Discovery 4 interior, but they used the 2.7 TDV6 and a manual gearbox.
Right, yeah, because I think you told me this series, didn't you? I thought it was quite interesting. I didn't know that at all.
Yeah, full of boring facts.
Yeah, you are. Almost as boring as me about a canal.
So actually, in fact, what's the chap's name? Lucian. He's got a really nicely prepared silver Discovery 4. He's on Instagram. That's a commercial that he's done up for overlanding, and that's 2.7. Probably a bit of a unicorn, because if you can get one, the 2.7, if you do the oil pump's probably a bit more dependable than the later 3-litre, even though it's not as powerful. But you get a Discovery 4 interior, which is tons better than the Disco 3.
Yeah, no, they're good. Have you ever driven a manual one?
Yeah.
What do you think, too? I found it quite low geared in first, and we were quickly snatching for second.
I do...
They're quite revvy for...
Yeah, I think the gearing on them is a bit odd. They're a bit weird. And you're always changing gear as well.
Yeah, for me, the car suits an auto.
Definitely.
I think much, much more. In fact, I wouldn't personally buy a manual.
Most big diesel 4x4s, I think, do suit automatic gearboxes better. But I can definitely see the appeal of a manual if you love that mechanical feel. And
LV22 just went the other way.
I missed it.
Beautiful.
I missed it.
You're going to know what colour it was.
What colour was it?
Something big. I tell you what, I was stunning.
Today, on what Martin has seen on Facebook, someone selling a very rotten, high mileage L322 in Tonga Green, TD6. They were $8,000 or $9,000 for it.
Too much.
And thankfully, they're getting ripped to pieces in the comments.
Far too much.
I know there's a niche market for them. People are going to spend good money when they find a good one. But the key word in that sentence is a good one, not an absolute shed that happens to be the right colour that people want at the time.
Yeah.
Because forget it. Like, just stop.
Interestingly, right, the people opposite me, they've got the L52, the 10-play one. You saw it the other day, didn't you?
Yeah, it is lovely.
It is lovely. So, I don't know them. I've never even met them because they live opposite. Quite a young guy, actually. Anyway, they've just dropped a Christmas card into us. That's the new neighbours.
Oh, right.
With their phone number. So, if you ever, you know, feel the need to contact us, here's our number. I took that as a sign to offer him on his L322.
That's funny you should mention.
Now I've got the phone number to somebody who's got an L52 that may or may not sell it, I don't know.
Dangerous.
That is dangerous, isn't it? But it is nice.
That's another one there. That's a Tonka Green one. Did you see that going across the roundabout? Yeah. It got silly big wheels on it, though.
How can we... Yeah, that one the other way looked better wheels. I'm not sure which wheels it had because it was going along, but
yeah, I'm not a fan of the bigger aftermarket, like 22 inch wheels on Range Rovers don't look right in my opinion. That makes them ride horribly.
It's weird, isn't it, that we've seen just two L52s in like the last...
It's great fun, isn't it, Land Rover spotting?
Yeah,
wherever you go. There's that other series, that's a series 3 kind of near us as well, isn't there, the red one with the canvas, which also doesn't seem to ever move. Am I going left?
There you go, straight on.
Yeah,
you were right in this lane, yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
I'm quite near Silverstone now.
Navigation with Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think people need to go out and use their Land Rovers a bit more. I had some good feedback about last week's podcast when we basically said it doesn't matter what sort of condition your Land Rover is in, just go out and use the thing. People were like, yeah, do you know what? You're right.
Life is definitely too short to save the vehicle for somebody else. Just exactly. Crack on.
Just use it.
Yeah.
Just get on and use it. Fix it when it breaks. Weld it up when it rusts. Ooh. Also, layer shapes.
A late sport, yeah.
In resale grey. But, it's been rich pickings for Land Rover spotting so far, hasn't it? And it doesn't seem to be slowing down. They're coming thick and fast this Thursday morning.
tell you what, I'm great. I'm looking forward to getting my 90 back. I've had no car this week.
You've gone from having every vehicle under the sun to no car.
To having no car.
Mm.
Especially when my wife's working away for the night. So that's 2 days with no car on the drive. The driveway has been completely empty.
It must be quite isolating, because if you can't like nip down the road or whatever, then you're stuck at home, isn't it?
Oh, you've picked me up twice.
Yeah, don't I know it?
Yeah. You run me around all over the place the other day.
Yeah, I'm going to, like I say, stick a light on the top so it's Steve's personal chauffeur at the moment.
You know you've made it big when you're sitting in the passenger seat of a really nice, luxurious car you've been driven around.
Yeah.
Thanks, mate.
No worries. Thankfully, I've got time coming out of my ears on the way up to Christmas, so yeah, no stress.
Yeah. That is one problem we have, isn't it, with Christmas, when we've got print deadlines. So they bring the print deadline
forward. It all gets condensed, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does make for a challenge, but yeah, I'm doing an adventure between Christmas and New Year. I'm going to Wales.
Oh, are you?
I'm going Green Lantern in Wales and camping.
Won't that be cold?
Probably.
Like, properly cold?
Yeah, but I go camping this time of year anyway.
Are you cot tenting it?
I think so.
Which Land Rover are you taking?
Well, this is the question, really, because I could either take... Well, I'd have to ask...
Are you going at Green Lantern?
Very nicely, if they'd let me take the Discovery 5, because I wouldn't want to damage it, obviously. I'm not the only person that will use this vehicle, and I don't want to give it back to them with the wheels all smashed up. But I think it would be fine. Or the Freelander 2, in which case I'd put the roof tent back on that.
Yeah,
or the Series 3, but I'd put my canvas tilt on the back to keep all my stuff dry. Or the 110 might just be ready,
but
it'd be untested.
Yeah.
It would add to the adventure.
It adds to the adventure, but not when you're broken down within 20 minutes of home.
Are you trying to insinuate?
Well, but
fine 200 TDI.
By the Range Rover Sport there. This is like Range Rover Sport capital around here.
That's a current shape. They're cool though, aren't they?
Mm.
I think the slight image problem that the first generation Sport had is gone now. I think they're actually becoming quite collectible, nice ones.
Well, our tech editor has one.
Yes, indeed.
Ed Evans, so he's had one for many, many years, and he's tested quite a few different cars recently because he's itching to buy something.
Yeah.
But nothing, he says nothing is comparing to what he's already got.
That's fair enough.
Even Range Rover Sport 2s.
Really?
Yeah, he's driven two of them, and two cars drove completely different to one another. It was a completely different experience in one and the other. And he's like, I can't... Yeah, he's not ready to give up on it. It's, you know, fairly, relatively high mileage.
Yeah, it's silver, isn't it? Is.
Sport.
Silver TDV6.
Yeah, I think he's got about 130,000 miles on the clock.
Yeah, 140, it's not a lot, though, one of them, but... Yeah,
it's not, but he knows it inside out.
That's it, isn't it?
And then he's like fully confident in it, and nothing compares. So better the devil you know sometimes.
It really is. Yeah, I agree. And if it serves your purpose and it does what you need it to do, then I think we've...
I know, but you know when you get bored or something, you just think, I'm on something else.
But then, I know what you mean. What generally what happens when I get bored of something is I don't sell it and buy something else. I just buy something else.
Yes. No, there shouldn't be a rhyme or reason to it. There shouldn't be like, oh, I think I'd better, you know, just spend the money. If you've got the money, spend the money.
But also, no disrespect to first generation Sports, but...
The Fender coming the other way?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's got the DRLs in the bumper. That's actually very smart.
A nice little classic trials bike on the back.
Trials bike on the back. Yeah. Pretty cool. Cars like my Freelander 2 and Ed's Sport to a degree, even though it's been very well maintained, well, they both have. You're not going to be putting a huge amount of money towards something else by selling them. So if you know that they're dependable transport, they've had all the work done, you keep it well serviced. If you've got the space and you don't mind either taxing it or re-taxing it when you need it, quite handy to have around.
And I...
My Freelander 2 had a set of six dining chairs in it the other day. We take the dog out in it. It seats five people comfortably. It's not worth a lot of money. Like I say, it's done 230,000 miles now. But it's just so... It's just such a useful car.
Dependable. Yeah. Perhaps I should look at a Freelander 2.
Yeah, I think you should.
Again, I had a bad experience with the one I had.
You just need to buy the right one.
But it kind of like everything, you know, you look at the sales history, it kind of was.
Okay.
I don't know. I need to drive another one, really.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like...
Go and try.
Mind you, my... If this was a year ago, we were recording podcasts... LVGTs were not on my radar one bit.
Yeah.
But they still are. Not helped by our mate Adam Wormlating fueling the desire with more tempting offers on Auto Trader and various places.
Going off-piste ever so slightly, sticking with Range Rovers, have you looked at Anglia Car Auctions catalogue I believe it's the next sale in February, the Classic Auction?
No, I haven't, no. What's occurring?
Range Rover LSE. So classic, yes. LSE, less than 1,000 miles on the clock. It's done 600 odd or 800 odd miles.
Is that 4.2?
From new. Yeah, all LSEs were 4.2.
Yeah, 4.2, yeah.
Very, very cool. Absolute time warp. I'd love to know the story behind it. I'm hoping that Theo is going to drop me a line and let me know a bit more background, because I've seen photos of it, and my word, obviously it's been stored for a long time, but you're never, ever going to find another one sub 1,000 miles.
Isn't it funny that this stuff's still out there?
It does make you wonder, doesn't it, where this stuff is still lurking, because you can guarantee it is.
Yeah. Every time there's something like that comes out, you go, that got to be the last one, but sometimes they're not.
I know, they just constantly get, outdone. You've only got to look at, like, classic Ford world and stuff like that. The prices of that.
Ridiculous. The iconic. No, we're just going to be five there.
Yeah.
Go on. Yeah, everywhere, man.
Yeah, it's good. I'm warning to them, but this one, I've got the twin sunroof blinds open at the moment because it lets a bit of light in, because the black interior, and you've got black seats, black dash, black headlining. It's just a bit dark. I need a bit of light.
I didn't realise they automatically shut and opened.
Yeah, so they shut when you turn the ignition off or get out, which I'm assuming is to shield the interior from the sun. But then when you get back in, it remembers that you had them open and it opens them automatically again.
I wonder if you can set that so that they don't automatically open. You can, but I don't know.
I would have thought so. You've got lots of options on the beeping at me again. Lots of options on the Pivi Pro screen to dial in exactly how you want it. Which is, you don't get that on a
Freeland 2.
Yeah, it's funny though, because to me, a Freelander 2 is a reasonably comfortable, as I say, refined vehicle. But when you get from something like this back into it, you realise just how tinny and how of their time they were. If someone launched a car of that level of refinement now, you'd be like, forget it. This is like a different league, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's
it still do feel connected to the outside world in this, though.
The steering's beautifully weighted.
Yeah, really, they are cracking things.
I'm
swift. What are we doing now? 63 miles an hour. It just feels like standing still.
We're cruising, and then when you do need to get past someone, you barely have to.
They squeeze on.
And it's so linear and such a lovely response. It doesn't, it's not hard work to drive. It's not overly sensitive. It's just so efficient. But one thing I have noticed is, if I cycle through the screen here, we are only getting 31.6 miles to the gallon.
You say only?
Yeah. Go on.
That's all right.
What is it, though?
Is it not?
Well, look at 20 years ago, cars were doing that.
What does this weigh?
I don't know. It's got to be two and a half. Not quite 2.5. It's got to be around.
These are 2.4. I think these are 2.4 tons.
Okay.
2,400 kilos.
Yeah.
Cars 20 years ago were doing 31.6 miles per gallon. But 20 years ago, a 350 horsepower car wasn't doing 31 miles per gallon.
I take your point. Yeah.
A 350 horsepower car 20 years ago was probably doing 15 miles per gallon and couldn't seat seven people in comfort.
True.
I think that's 31.6. I think that's bang on.
Okay. Maybe I'm being too harsh.
I think you are.
Yeah.
What does your 302 do to the gallon?
About, 29, but that is because it's got roof rack on it.
Without the roof rack. So 30, 31 if it didn't have a roof rack.
Without the roof rack and with proper road tyres on it rather than trail terrains, it gets about 32.
Okay, so same as this.
Yeah. And which is why I think there should be more of a difference.
Oh,
but that's got 180 horsepower and this has got 350.
Pretty much double.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This has probably got 350 left. Yours has probably got some gone.
Potentially. It's still pretty healthy, but it will have lost some.
Yeah,
the turbos are still hanging in there, obviously, which is a relief.
I know, I can't believe it. This is another Christmas episode of the podcast, and we're still talking about your turbo.
Another year down.
We're also still talking about my unfinished project, but hey, at least it's moved on this year much, much more than it did last year.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's perhaps not where we would like it to be, but it has moved an awful long way.
But I've spent some money.
Well, that's part of a rebuild.
Probably with none left.
Rebuilding a Land Rover.
Yeah, I've spent a lot of money.
It'll be a lovely thing when it's done. Yeah, all good fun. But what is next on the list for that? We need to run the brake pipes and the wiring through the chassis.
Definitely, because...
Because the tub's going on next.
Because the tub will go to paint somewhere in the region. By late January, the tub will be painted.
Right.
Because that's a bigger item. I've got to book that in with him, really.
Okay.
Because, you know, manoeuvring it around is a bit of a hassle for him.
It's a fair lot.
It's not like a car that you can wheel in and out. Or a wing that you can just put on a stand. That's a big old lump.
Yeah.
Needs a bit of thought. But that'll be the biggest panel to paint, won't it? So
oh, definitely.
It's important to get that right.
You're going for a protective coating on the underside.
Yes, we are. But we don't know. I can't remember what he said he uses, but a tintable version of like a type of Raptor or some sort of
okay. thing. Good idea.
Because that suppresses noise.
That definitely helps with a bit of the drumming and like the horrific noise you get when a stone comes out of your tyre and smacks the inner wheel arch.
Yeah, that's a horrible noise. Yeah.
Someone's shooting off a gun behind your head.
My 90 still does that now, even though it's got sound sensation. It's pretty loud.
They do make a racket.
Finding the right parts for your Land Rover or Range Rover shouldn't be an off-road challenge. At bmh4x4.com, we've built a smarter way to get you back on track. Our new website is now live, the simple, fast and reliable way to find the parts and accessories you need. Supplying quality parts for Defender 1983 to 2016, Discovery 1, 2, 3 and 4, Range Rover Sport 2005 to 2013, with Range Rover P38A and L322 coming soon. All parts are backed by expert knowledge, quick delivery, and a 2-year quality guarantee. Visit bmh4x4.com, built by enthusiasts for enthusiasts.
Someone decided to overtake without indicating. Here we go, we're off, look, 350 horse down the road.
Oh, they're going for that in their Ford C-Max.
The Ford C-Max is not hanging around, to be fair, which is unusual for one of them. You do notice, I was talking...
Certain cars and certain drivers.
You just know what to avoid, don't you? When you see them out and about, I won't name any names, you know who you are. Certain sit up and beg, like, tall hatchbacks, you just think, I'm going to give you a wide berth, because I don't...
Made by another British brand to begin with V.
Either them or one of two Japanese brands, but, you know, they all look the same sort of style of car.
Like a style of music.
Yeah, the style of music or something you might write on a piece of paper. You know what I'm getting. You got to give them a wide berth. It's the same we were saying about when I said you weren't eating your bacon roll in here. It's the same thing about parking it at the other end of a car park so you don't get someone in a battered people carrier smashing their door into the side.
Yeah, this is the problem.
This is the sad world we live in where not everyone has the same respect for other people's stuff. But, you know, what is walking an extra 15 seconds when you don't have the side of your door caved in by...
Well, that happened to my mother-in-law the other day.
Really?
Yeah, she's got an Audi A3, and my wife and her went out for a lunch, parks, and actually my wife was there similar to me, so she'll park the furthest away from somewhere just to get away from all the people that can't drive or park.
Definitely.
Somebody's reversed out and literally creased the driver's door all the way down it, so it's not even a scrape, it's like a crease. £900 damage.
Did they drive away?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, no. And there's no CCTV.
What's this in front of us, Stevie?
A.
That is a 90.
A 90.
That's a Puma.
He's going to say it's not an early one, is it?
Or is it? It is a Puma. It's a 2009 50, 90 without the spare wheel on the back. That's proper.
Oh, on 205.
We saw this on the way back.
I saw this the other day because I commented on it being on 205.
It's got Ross dials.
And it was around here.
Yeah. It's either... Yeah, it's got Rostyles on it. Someone's kept them off their previous Defender and fitted them on that, haven't they? Let's get a closer look at this little honey.
What's on the roof?
That's Tamar Blue. It's got like a beacon on the roof, hasn't it?
Aren't those wheels tiny?
Yeah, they do look odd with 205s on them, don't they? They look undersized these days, but he's not hanging around, is
he? No, he's not hanging around.
That's got to be remapped, hasn't it? She's got a right shuffle on. That'll be a 2.4 TDCI. Some would argue that is the finest generation of Defender. I would wholeheartedly disagree.
Because where's the fuel pump on that? Not on the chassis, like a TD5.
The filter is...
The
filter is still in the wheel arch, which I maintain is an absolute stupid idea. And yeah. I would be doing something far more productive with my day than driving to Newbury, had they put it somewhere sensible. That is cool, though.
That's a proper farm.
I love it.
Farm spec one.
I love it. You can guarantee that those wheels have been swapped from Defender to Defender over the last 30 years.
So no Puma Defenders were left for 205s, left the factory.
No, they did leave with 205, but they? Not Rostyles. They would have had the standard Defender tuneless wheels.
They just look really small.
They do look like little biscuits, don't they?
Yeah.
Digestive biscuits. But hey, if it works, it works.
I'd quite like a Puma Defender, you know. I would.
You did toy with the idea of turn for a while.
I did. Thing is, I need space for about, I'd say, six cars and the budget for six cars, because three's... You say that's the optimum number, but it's not quite enough.
Do you think? No, yeah. I think any more than three is a hassle.
Don't get me wrong, it's a hassle, and you'd have to be like, money, no object.
Well, it is you, though, isn't it?
Money, no object? No, it's not me.
Am I going left here?
No, you're going straight on. You're basically going on the M40, I think.
I think I've been more excited by that little 90 on 205s than I have anything else we've spotted this journey so far.
Yeah, me too.
A proper...
Because that's a proper working...
A proper workhorse of a thing.
Yeah, and because we saw it again, we're basically locals to this area now.
We are basically, yeah. We are like honorary Oxfordians.
And we're in Northamptonshire still.
Are we?
Yeah. Oh. We're not Oxfordshire yet.
Still in Northampton.
Yeah, we've just...
Now we're in Oxfordshire.
Now there's the sign.
You couldn't have planned that any better, could you? The county.
But I was right, though. I was right for about 15 seconds.
Oh, yeah, you were. Yeah. I'm not denying that.
Yeah. We've just scooted around the outskirts of Silverstone, basically.
Okay. Signs that were... that had Oxfordshire town names on them. I thought we were already there, but clearly we weren't. But now we are, when is almost in sight.
No, yeah, in an hour from here.
Are we still an hour away?
Yeah, about an hour.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. Allmakes HQ is massive.
It is.
Because it's a purpose-built, brand new, like...
state-of-the-art.
It's like an Amazon building. It's that big.
Yeah, it is, actually.
It's brilliant.
You should check out... Greg King did a day with Allmakes. As part of the series.
Yes.
It's a really, really cool insight into their facility. And we did a podcast with Eddie Priscott, who works there. He's marketing manager there. So
he's not a marketing manager. He's like product development for Tony Furman.
Oh, beg your pardon. Sorry, Eddie. I've got your job title wrong.
Yeah. He develops all of the off-road goodies.
He's been in the game a while. He knows his onions, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
And in fact, helped us set up the off-road course, which is why we're going back to his premises now to pick up the 90.
That was a bright pink
L663.
Yeah.
New shape Defender. I don't...
That had some sort of like sign writing on it.
Was it branded up?
Yeah, it's branded up.
Oh, I missed the brand.
What do you think they were selling?
I would not like to guess. What do you think
their company was? That was quite a tasteful pink. It wasn't like Katie Price pink. It was a darker pink. It was quite... I mean, I wouldn't wear a shirt in that colour.
Oh, really?
No, not that.
I was going to take him with a Discovery 4 that went past afterwards, a very late Discovery 4 in black.
I couldn't get my eyes off the pink.
You were just transfixed by the pinkness. The Discovery 4 did it for me.
And there's quite a lot of Land Rovers on this journey.
I'm loving it.
It is actually really good.
Actual prime Land Rover spotting
trip. I didn't think we'd see this pretty.
No, I didn't. It's actually quite fun to do a podcast on the road, isn't it? Because you do get to see some sights, that's for sure. Oh, to mention the other day, actually, on the way into LRM HQ, I saw a young lad driving a Discovery 300 TDI, completely standard, apart from it had a set of Terra Firma RVS alloys on it. Do you remember them?
Are they like quite a lot of spokes?
They're kind of like a... They look like a motorsport
wheel.
But they're like a fake beadlock wheel.
Oh, I know the ones.
They were...
Oh, they look really cool.
They were. Yeah, they were really expensive when they were new. But I really, really wanted a set for my Defender and I never got them. But to see that, to see them on that Discovery, I was like, yeah, I remember the
arm. The man's got a good choice.
Yeah, definitely. And to see someone like a proper young'un driving a 300 TDI Discovery, good on you, sir. Keep it going. Keep the... there's a guy I follow on Instagram, actually. I forget his actual username, but he's got a like a metallic red 300 TDI 90. And yeah, just so good. So refreshing to see the next generation coming into these vehicles.
Yeah, using them. They are the classic Andres.
Absolutely. If you sound like what we've just said, you must come to LRM Fest because it's going to be awesome. And live. Get it live as well. At Malvern.
Two completely different show styles, I'm going to say.
100%. Yeah, definitely.
And most people would get something out of coming to both of them, really.
Absolutely. Yeah. They are, we've purposefully made them different because why would you run two shows the same? But yeah, LRM Live, very much about the sort of, not classic end, but it's a celebration of heritage, isn't it? It's a celebration of the Land Rover as a vehicle. Loads of different variety on show, on display, loads of great trade. Always a really, really popular event, but LRM Fest is far more of a sort of a party, isn't it?
Definitely is. Yeah.
Am I in the right lane?
Yeah, you are. You're in the left lane. Yeah, you are in the correct.
Oh, there's a sign for Newgate.
Yeah, there is now.
And Oxford.
We've just been past a sign for Bicester. Have you ever been to the Bicester Scramble? Is it called?
No, I haven't. But when I was helping out with Revs Restore, I used to go to Bicester.
Oh, you did, yes. You have been there.
But I've not been to a Scramble, no. But I've heard good things.
Yeah, no, that they're going to an eclectic mix of cars, the stuff we would want to look at. I might have to try and get to one this coming year.
Do I do them every month?
I think in the summer months I do, yes. Okay. But it's a ticketed thing now, it's got quite busy. You have to book in advance.
Yeah, I get that. Because it'd be chaos if everyone's turned up, wouldn't it?
Do you remember last year we did that, and we probably will do this, but we did like a run through of like the year ahead.
We're going to do that. We're going to do 2026.
Yeah.
100%.
We always said about like getting things in the diary and making sure and not let the year run away with itself.
Yes.
Well, guess what's happened to me? Hasn't this year gone like super fast?
It has so fast. It has. It really has. Oh, the rain's coming down now.
Oh, this is the perfect car for these conditions.
Absolutely. I think, yeah, I wouldn't want to be in any other vehicle. But yeah, 2026 is going to be awesome, but you do need to plan it. And to help you do that, not only do we send out a newsletter every month with all the new dates on for all the new events that are coming up in the imminent future, but you can find the listings in the magazine, in Land Rover Monthly, and of course, we'll be doing a special Plan Your 2026 podcast. So you've got no excuse not to plan it, really.
No, I need to just practice what I preach.
Yeah.
Although I'm at most of the events, but...
It's easy. It is easy to let the year get away with you. And it's important as well to just make the most of your time. I know it's easy to sit at home and scroll on social media, but get out there and do stuff because no one's gonna get to their latter... You know, down the line and go, I'm ever so glad I spent every weekend at home scrolling on TikTok, are they? Not gonna happen.
No, horrendous.
No.
And do you know the top tip? Save money, even if you don't come to our event and you go to someone else's event. But the earlier you book, the more you save.
100%.
Yeah.
You've got the early bird tickets, don't everybody?
Yeah, the early bird offers on these tickets. At the end of the day, saving money at the moment. Buys, you know, wait, put it into diesel, can't you? Or Land Rover.
And what I love about booking things early is by the time the event comes around, you've forgotten that you've spent that money. So it's like it's free.
Yeah, no, that's man maths, that is.
It is, 100%. Yeah. But it does genuinely work.
And then it gives you more money during the weekend to spend on exciting things.
On whatever you like for your Land Rover. But the video, I hope, will be live for the off-road course build by the time this podcast goes out.
Possibly.
There might be some fine-tuning needed.
Yeah, it's in edit at the moment. And, yes. And there's two guys editing the videos. Well, 2 days worth of footage compressed into snippets and different various videos. But it'll be a long-form video and then there'll be...
Yeah, sure.
Snippets as well, won't there? So
the sort of preview for LRN Festo has gone down as a treat on social media.
as you'd expect, because the stuff that we've got booked is just going to be fantastic. So excited to share. We can't share everything yet because we need to, you know, keep a little bit of mystery there, but
bit of intrigue.
Do not underestimate how good it's going to be. 2023 Evoque clip with the flush door handles. That's how you can tell when the latest revision came out.
Oh yeah. That's like the Velard door handles, isn't it? They come out with and they
2020 on Evoque had the flush handles. Yeah.
Didn't they nick that from like the F-Type Jag? They had those handles on the outset.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
There's a. It's fun. You spot these. You pick up on.
What's the guy's fuel filler open or his electric charging point under?
Oh yeah.
With his 3D number plate.
4D. Yeah. Well, they're called 4D, but 4D doesn't actually exist, so I'm not really sure why they're called 4D. But
they're called 4D. I don't like those number plates.
Two gripes I've got about number plates. First of all, 4D plates have never improved the look of any car ever. So, in my opinion. And also, putting black and silver plates on a car that isn't old enough to have them looks ridiculous. Please stop. We're almost going back.
Each their own, Dave.
Well, yeah.
But I'm just saying, well, I'm putting it out there now. If I went to view a car and it had 4D number plates on it,
I would walk away.
I wouldn't buy it. In fact, I wouldn't even go to look at it. I wouldn't look at it.
Yeah.
And I think, right, something that a car dealer said to me the other day, it was quite funny actually, detail is retail.
That's a great saying.
Yes. So putting the correct number plates on a car, or new number plates on the car, we've said this before, but it
oh yeah,
boosts them.
New number plates makes a huge difference. And one thing I love to see is your older vehicles, like late 80s, early 90s vehicles, seeing number plates with the correct font, like period correct font,
yes,
makes a much bigger difference than you would think. So my 110 has got modern plates on it at the moment. It doesn't look right.
No, I
look at it,
weird, isn't it?
It should either have the aluminium ones with the separate aluminium raised letters, or it should have like the bigger letters. Am I turning off there?
I'm not sure.
Can't remember. Oh, well, we're not going off there now. Sorry, we got too stuck into chatting about number plates and possibly missed our exit.
Yeah, we did come off there. Do you know what I can't see now? Because it's absolutely hammering down.
I was going to say, we might be polluting the sound of the podcast with this rain hitting the windscreen. So what do you say we wrap it up and we bring back next week? We come back next week for another chit-chat, a bit less Land Rover spotted, back to the normal format.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll have some more listeners' questions to answer.
Definitely.
Because obviously we can't look at our emails while we're driving.
That would be irresponsible and illegal.
Yes.
So we'll wrap this one up. Thanks ever so much for listening. Social media, Land Rover Monthly on Instagram and Facebook, Land Rover Martin, Steve Miller Automotive. Check us out on YouTube, Land Rover Monthly YouTube channel. Sign up for the newsletter on the website so you get really cool, relevant stuff like the events listings sent straight to your inbox. And, of course, buy the January issue of Land Rover Monthly, which comes with Land Rover Life and a calendar. Why wouldn't you do that? So, for now, though, we're going to sign off from a very rainy Oxfordshire. Thanks ever so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye for now.